This is a recording of Providence Road Church of Christ in Charlotte, North Carolina.
No regrets. Can everybody say that with me? No regrets. It was actually on a tombstone. And I wonder about the life. No regrets. We got some young men who are about to pass out something to you because it's New Year's Day. We have something for you. New Year's Day is a day when we turn over leaves and have resolutions. Will anybody confess to having made at least one new resolution or commitment? You're trying to start something different. Maybe your resolution was just to make it through today. Maybe you've got a resolution to start exercising or lose weight or make a change. There's something that happens when we turn the calendar and when the ball drops, whether you stay up and watch it or TiVo it then for the next day, and you say, wow, we're on a new page. And the excitement about new pages, in part, is getting a chance to write something different. The difficulty is, though, that when we turn that new page, it can feel like, oh, well, here's just another new year. We had guests in town over the holidays, and so we did some of the things you do when you have guests in town. We went for the first time, for instance, to the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Now, I will confess, to the anger of some, I'm not a big NASCAR fan. What is that? All of NASCAR is go fast and turn left. Is that the deal, right? There are folks who just really love it, and that's clear when you go to the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Because in one section, there are memorials to some of those great NASCAR drivers. And each one of them has a birth and a death symbol for those who are no longer on the earth. There's a little cemetery not far from our house. In fact, if you drive down Providence Road, there's a big white church down there just before you get to 485. If you go around behind it, there's a cemetery that has some tombstones that are from the 1800s. In fact, behind it is some tombstones from, I think, even earlier days. There's even, back in the woods, a slave burial ground. It's just a really interesting little thing, cool thing to take people to when you're, you know, taking them in from out of town and saying, here's something. I believe at that church, it was one of the places where George Washington supposedly slept. I don't know if it says George slept there or not, but you know, there's just places around. Wait a minute, he wouldn't sleep in church, would he? I'm sorry, where he attended church, he may have slept someplace. Well, then again, maybe it was George slept there. Anyway, if you go back into that cemetery and walk around, you'll need to move some leaves, but you'll find some tombstones like this. And you think, wow, 64 years or 60, was it 63? Is he from 1977 to? For 1877 and 1940, and you think, okay, he died at a time when we're thinking history is launching with World War I, World War II. He was born 1877. But there's one more interesting thing on that tombstone. Do you notice it? It's not his name, T.F. Brown. Don't know what the T.F. stands for. But there's one more symbol on that tombstone. Have you picked it out yet? It's that little dash right in between. That's really it, isn't it? What are you doing with your dash? Would you open your Bibles up to Psalm 90? Psalm 90 is an interesting psalm because it is a psalm that was written not by David or by Solomon, but is a psalm that is attributed to Moses. And I want to begin by sharing with you the first 12 verses of it as our text that'll launch this series that'll start our year right. Lord, you've been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Up on the screen is the NIV, and we're going to read several sections of this aloud. So if you've got an NIV and want to follow along, if you want to look up on the screen, let's read this next sentence together. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, think about how long that is, from everlasting to everlasting, everybody with me, you are. Now remember, Moses is writing this, so Moses knows. Moses understands what it feels like to be in the presence of God. Moses understands what it feels like to have the call of God on your life. And so he begins this psalm with a good rock solid place for us to start the year. You are God. Can we say it again? You are. No one in this room is speaking to you. Say it one more time. You are God. And of course that means we're not. And then he turns to this truth. You turn men back to dust, saying, return to dust, O sons of men. Moses seems to go into a dark place here. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. Moses, what's going on? I'm going to suggest, though I cannot prove it, that this was not written by young Moses. This is written by a Moses who has walked with God long enough to know a few things about living life. It's written by a Moses who understands. Let me tell you, you may think I've got it going on, all the vitality in the world. I'm going to live forever. Tain't so. Have you lived long enough to where your body starts reminding you it's not permanent? Those aches and pains that there's some folks say, I don't know, under 20 or 30 here today, who you're going, what do you mean aches and pains? Like when you play basketball or you run a marathon. No. I mean aches and pains like you wake up. You get up. And you find yourself saying, man, boy, how's your back? Honey, is your back hurt? Man, my neck is. Oh, what did I do? Oh, yeah, I bent over yesterday. Man, shouldn't have done that. Moses says, let me tell you, your body will remind you if you'll listen to it. But we, of course, grab my Tylenol or grab my Advil and trying to make it all go away. And Moses says, here's what God says. Just go back to dust, sons of men. And he's like me sweeping my front porch. Whoosh. Gone. Isn't this a positive lesson for New Year's Day? Are you loving it so far? Keep going. Verse 7. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You've set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. Wow, Moses says, not only, God, is our life just boom, it just goes by, grass in the morning and then it's gone. But not only that, there is nothing about it that is hidden from you. Everything that I've said, everything that I've done. A member of this church was asked to give a speech. It wasn't me. A member of the church was asked to give a speech to a group of law students at, I want to say it was Duke. But he said, one of the things I got up and told them was, you realize that when you put something on Facebook, we're going to check it out before we hire you. He said, I looked out and saw a bunch of very intelligent kids go, huh? All those pictures that you post, all those tweets, I was so smashed last night, I could barely drive home. He says, that's the kind of stuff we read when we decide whether or not we're going to hire you. Said, I saw 1,000 students immediately scribbling, take down pictures. Can you imagine a Facebook that has every photo of every second of your life? I know there's too many gigs to hold that, but just imagine every photo, every second, that's God's Facebook. And by the way, you can't defriend him. Here's how Moses puts it. You've set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. And so he follows with this sentence. Let's read it together. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Don't you wish you had that on a poster for your office? All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. There is nothing positive in this, at least initially. I look at it and I say, Moses, did you just wake up, have a bad day, grab the stylus and say, all right, and you only get one psalm. This is the only psalm that is attributed to Moses. Here it is. This is what you want to leave for us, Moses? And then he gives us this jewel. The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? They quickly pass and we fly away. That used to be one of my favorite hymns. Some glad morning. Do you remember that one? When this life is o'er, I'll fly away. See, now we want to sing You'll Fly Away. I'm not ready to, but you will, right? But the songwriter may have taken a cue from Moses here when Moses, let me tell you what, here's the guarantee. You will come to the end of your dash. You will come to the last of your days. You will, one way or another, fly away from this life. And then he gives us the sentence that you do want to memorize out of this. He begins the end of verse 11, for your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Here's the sentence. You ready? Teach us to number our days aright. If you don't have this underlined in your Bible, you need to just underline it and circle it. Here we go. Teach us to number our days aright. Can I get the men in the room to say it with me? Teach us to... May I ask the ladies in the room to say it with me? Teach us to... Now, pause. There's only 2 points really in this lesson, and you got it. It's easy for New Year's Day. I know some of you stayed up late, so I want to keep it simple this morning. Teach us to number our days aright. Now, the first shocking thing there is he uses a finite word where I don't like to think finitely. Teach us to number our days. There's a website, and I need to probably share it with you, called the Death Clock. I'm assuming it's doctors, I really don't know, but somebody put together a website that you can go to and type in your birth date. They'll ask you questions about yourself, and then once you put it all in, it will give you a projected death date. Yeah, I know, happy website, right? A preacher buddy of mine found this, and he told me, if you're going to tell your church, kind of warn them, because it isn't accurate, okay? It is a guess. One 87-year-old member of his church, a lady, put in all her information and it said, you're already dead. So you need to understand that it's just, you know, this calculation of, well, if on an average. I haven't gone to the website. Moses would tap me on the shoulder and say, Jeff, do you know you have a number? Do you realize there's a number? Don't know what it is, but there's a number that I've got left. Sun rises, sunsets, heartbeats. Moses, you're depressing the socks out of me. I wish I just stayed home and had the little Devo that the kids said we could do. Can't we just have it right here? Teach us to number our days? Why? Now the rest of the sentence. This is the good part. That, can everybody say it with me? That we may gain a heart of wisdom. Moses uses this pure gold word at the end of that, wisdom. Not knowledge, not information. He says, do you want to be wise? Do you want to be able to live with that vision, with that perspicacity, with that ability to look at life and make great choices? Do you want to lay down at the end of each day with no regrets? It all comes down to this. Teach us to number our days so that we can gain a heart of wisdom. One author, and I think his first name is Austin, and maybe Aaron, but his last name is Nash. I remember that much. Nash wrote this: death is more universal than life. Everybody dies. Not everybody really lives. Howard Hendricks wrote, No one sets out to have a mediocre life, but I've met many mediocre people. I wonder if one of the reasons is we don't deal with the number of our days, with the passion that is driven by the finality of, I need to get on with living what God called me to live. It is said that Randolph Hearst would fire anyone who spoke of his death. He didn't want to hear about it, didn't want to think about it. Whenever anybody would mention any kind of succession, who's going to take over after Randolph, everybody knew, you're out of here, because he doesn't want to hear about it. Howard Hughes would not allow his lawyers to draw up a will, because it would make him think about numbering his days. By the way, they're both dead. You can ignore death. You just can't defeat it. Except, of course, in Christ Jesus. But when we walk with Christ, it's not that we say, oh, I'm never going to leave this body. It's we say, I am ready to leave with no regrets. Everybody dies. Just not everybody lives. So standing there looking at that tombstone with that little line in between, I began to wonder, am I living the dash, or am I just dashing to live? Am I purposefully saying, God, you've given me my dash? And let me give you a few truths about your dash, okay? You only get one. Everybody just gets one. And not only could I say, you just get one dash, but I'll tell you, that dash is shorter than it seems. For you teens, that dash right now may feel like, whoa, man, this is forever. But the farther you go, you realize that's a short dash. Can I get a, oh yeah? Some of us have come to that age where we get those phone calls. Did you hear about so-and-so? How old was she? 52. Really? How old was he? He was going to be 56. You're kidding. How old was he? He was 63. Oh man, young, young. I remember when 63 was dead, and now it's young. Here's the last piece of information about your dash. You get to choose how you spend it. In fact, you're the only one who can make the choice. Mama can hope, Daddy can help. Your wife or your husband can nag, but only you get to choose how you spend what God's given you. And people have made some wild choices. I read about a guy named Don Gorski from Wisconsin who just about, oh, it's been nearly a year ago, ate his 23,000th Big Mac. What is that? It's all special sauce, sesame seed bun. You guys probably lettuce, tomatoes. You know the routine, right? On May 17th of 1972, Don ate his first Big Mac, according to the article. He enjoyed it so much that he determined that for the rest of his life, if he did nothing else, every day he'd have a Big Mac. Because he said, I just loved it. And so every day since then, he has had a Big Mac. And kept the receipts. So that when the newspaper got the words, the people said, 23,000, Don's going to eat his 23,000. He brought out the boxes of all the receipts from every Big Mac he'd purchased since that day in May. Now here's the thing about the article that just caused me to go, no way. Mr. Gorski said, you know, it's not that I especially think that the meat is so great, or that the buns are so fantastically tasty. He said, it's just that altogether, it's just a wonderful experience. And so I came to think, it's the best part of my day. No matter whatever else happens, no matter how difficult or how crummy my day, my Big Mac is there. Is that bizarre to anybody else? And by the way, how many think he's going to live to be 55, right? after eating that many Big Macs. I'm sure there are dietitians right now who are just screaming, no! But this guy, for his dash, I'm just going to do something that tastes good. I'm going to eat something that makes me feel good. Larry Walters always wanted to fly. Larry lives in San Diego, California. Larry's a truck driver. And Larry, on a beautiful Southern California day, July 2nd, 1982, decided he was going to fly. So he called over a few of his friends, got out a green striped lawn chair, and tied 27 weather balloons, with the help of his friends, to his lawn chair. He belted himself into the lawn chair, had made a few peanut butter sandwiches, put them in a cooler, put a six-pack of beer on his lap, cradled in his arms a BB gun, and here was his plan. Once the balloons took him up and he got a chance to kind of look around a little bit, slowly he would shoot the balloons and lower himself back down to ground. His buddies took a picture and then let the chair go. It didn't work exactly as Larry had anticipated. The newspaper says that Larry shot 2 miles into the air at a very rapid rate. I mean, just took off like a rocket, his buddies said. They could hear him screaming until they couldn't hear him anymore. Larry shot up and began to float into the airspace of the Long Beach and the Newport Beach air terminals. Can you imagine being a pilot? And looking out the window and seeing this guy screaming this silent scream in his shorts and t-shirt in this unbelievably cold air with a six-pack that he never got a chance to drink, a cooler full of peanut butter sandwiches, and a BB gun, which he is now desperately trying to fire. As he begins to fire, Larry overestimates the power of the balloons and shoots about half of them and begins to descend as rapidly as he had ascended. It was not pretty. By the time he's flying down, there had been enough news and alerts that police and firemen from all over were converging on this area because these pilots were reporting, you're not going to believe this, but there's a guy in a lawn chair. When he landed and they circled around him, of course, the newspapers grabbed him and the TVs, and many of you have heard the story before. My favorite part is they stuck a mic in his face and said, would you do this again? He said, never in a million years. And then somebody else asked that question. Why'd you do it? And Larry Gorski said, couldn't just sit there. Yeah. Even Larry said, I couldn't just sit there. I had to do something with my life. I had to accomplish something. What do you want right below your dash? He flew in a lawn chair. She ate 23,000 Big Macs. A movie came out a while back called The Bucket List. I wonder if the writers knew about Moses' words. You see, I believe that Moses wants you and I to get it. And the it that he wants you to get is that God has given you a precious thing when he gave you life. Moses got it. I believe David got it. Take a look at Psalm 39, verses 4 through 5. Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere hand's breadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. David said, Moses had it right. I get it. My life is short. Everybody dies, but not everybody lives. The apostles understood it. James wrote this in James chapter 4 and verse 14. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? Can you read the red words? You are a mist that... And then... And you know why I think they got it? They got it because Jesus taught it. Jesus has this classic moment, a story in Luke chapter 12 with a wealthy man. The scripture says that this wealthy man had a great season. And so he says, what am I going to do? He says, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And then I'll store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, oh, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, wow. And when God calls you stupid, you're stupid. Can I get an amen? When God says you're a fool, you're a fool. And then he gives this line, this very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who's going to get what you'd prepared for others? Then who's going to get what you have? It's not a movie that I can recommend. But I saw a clip from Adam Sandler's film, Click. Click is about a remote control that can fast forward your life or freeze frame. Somehow in the story, he gets fast forwarded. And he gets to the end of his life. And like a lot of stories of this nature, there's this tender, sweet moment when he wants to tell his family that he's just treated like jerks and messed up his life. That you matter. And one line that breaks your heart is this one. This isn't the life I wanted. This just isn't the life I wanted. I wanted something different. And the unspoken response is, well, then why don't you do something? Why don't you choose differently? Christian? Have you got the life you wanted? Now, we can't do anything about the 30 days that are behind you. But with God's Holy Spirit at work within you, He has given you the ability to do something about the next 30 days. Y'all got a bookmark. It's a simple little Bible reading bookmark. We're going to start our year with reading verses about the power of God. Thank you, Holly Barrett, for not only preparing it, but also helping to set up a blog. And people can get on the website, our website, I assume, and find that blog somewhere. Is that right? Oh, the blog address, she says, is right on the bookmark. So that makes it even easier. Cool. And every week there'll be two or three blog posts about different scriptures from the week. But here's what I want to ask you. You're staring at your dash, and none of us want to, but we are staring at the dash saying, okay, what would I do if I just had 30 days? What would I do, and how focused would my mind become if I totally embraced Moses' words and I said, I've got 30 days. My life is fleeting. My life is like the wind that blows those leaves away. My life is that grass that comes up in the morning and it's gone. I've got 30 days. What would you do? Now, my line of work, I actually sometimes get to talk to people who are in that very spot. The doctor has said, it's pretty much it. Let me tell you some of the things that people who get it start doing. They start contacting people they love and letting them know they appreciate them. They start looking people in the eye and telling them what really matters. I've seen some write notes. I've seen some in this age do videos. One do a video to a grandchild who'd been born just a few months before. And a lady knew she would never hold that grandchild when that grandchild could, you know, understand her words. So she recorded a video. to say, let me tell you what's important. If you never do anything else, know this. God has made you special and wonderful. This marvelous little sermon in 2 minutes. Who do you need to call? What letter do you need to write? And I'm going to push you this far. The bulletin is really simple today. Can you turn to the blank side of it? Go ahead and get it out. Y'all got one. Our greeters are pretty efficient about that. Good deal. Would you put 1, 2, 3, just number 1, 2, 3 on there? Get a pen out of mama's purse and number 1, 2, 3 on there. And this is just an exercise for you. I'm not going to tell you what to write, but I'm going to ask you, if you had 30 days to live, what are 3 things you would say, I definitely would want to do this? Is there a letter you'd want to write? Is there a step you'd want to take? Is there a conversation you'd want to have? Is there a hug you'd want to give? Is there a risk you'd want to take? Now, are you willing to take even one step toward those things? See, we write them down all the time. Oh, yeah, this is my bucket list. It's now become, you know, the vernacular. Oh, my bucket list. Somebody said the other day, oh, yeah, going to such and such city. That's on my bucket list. Well, the problem with bucket lists is you and I have no idea whether we have one more day or one more year or one more decade. Now, some things on a bucket list just won't matter in eternity. Whether you get that shot of you standing, holding up the Leaning Tower of Pisa, or whether you ever go on the Richard Petty ride-along, or whether you ever go up in a hot air balloon, or you celebrate New Year's in Times Square. There may be some things that may not matter a whole lot. But there are some that will matter forever. Here's what Moses asks you to do. Stare at your dash, and then ask this question. What do I want underneath it? Teach us, O Lord, to number our days aright. I kind of translate that this way. You need to live like you're dying. Because you are. Death is universal. Everybody dies. Not everybody lives. Now, I've got a couple things I've written down on my list. I've got things I need to do. I don't know about you. Between now and next Sunday, because I'll ask you next Sunday, how are you doing on your list? Statistics say that some of us may not hear the rest of this sermon series. Now, you say, Jeff, you're trying to scare me now. Well, for a Christian, dying should be a thrill, not a chill, right? If dying scares you, that probably might want to be kind of like, whoa, I might pay attention to that. Because I don't know about you, but I would be thrilled to be with the King forever. Amen. To go to the place you want to be with the one you want to be with. But this is not a series about dying. If you're thinking, man, we're going to some other church during January. I couldn't handle 4 more weeks of this. This is not a series about dying. It's a series about how to live and how to live with passion. We're going to talk about living with passion. Loving completely, learning humbly, and leaving boldly over the next 30 days. And I truly believe that if we will obey God's word and let Him teach us to number our days, we will gain a heart of wisdom. You see, when you do think that you might die in 30 days, there are some things that just won't matter anymore. And I'm not going to get, as a friend says, my panties in a wad about it. I'm just not going to get all upset and uptight. I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you did that. I can't believe... Whoa, 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 whoa. What is that really worth? But let me tell you what is worth something. And I recognize not all of you can do this today, but some of you can. I am so thankful for you.
Thank you.
Would you bow with me? Lord, you told us through the lips of Jesus that to love you and to love our neighbors as ourselves is living life. Father, I ask that you release us into an amazing month of love. Of loving others, of loving you. Father, as we open our Bibles every day, as we read about the power of your word, as we launch into 2012, God keep us from thinking, I'll do that someday. And Lord, will you bring us to, I will do that today. God, I pray for those who may be here who have never given their heart and life to Jesus, who've never made that one decision that will echo with joy for eternity. And I ask God, even today when we lead this invitation song, that maybe the first baptism of the year will be today. I don't know, God, that's up to you. But Lord, if there's anyone here who is saying, I know, yeah, that's a get baptized, that's on my list. Father, help them not to wait one more week, one more day, one more month. But Father, I pray they would do that today. And Lord, for those of us who have got friends we need to talk to about Jesus. Folks, we've always said, you know, we ought to invite them to church. God, will you empower us to live these 30 days with no regrets, no looking over the shoulder, no saying, well, I wish I had. Father, thank you for the next 30 days, if indeed we have them. And may we live them with passion for you and passion for Jesus and passion in the Holy Spirit to love others. And Father, for anyone here who looks back over the other way over their shoulder and says, I am so sorry for the things I've done. And Father, they feel they need to just ask you for that. Then I pray that even when this song is sung, they'd be the ones to step out and say, I need to begin this new year clean. I want to clean my slate. And praise God that Jesus is the great slate cleaner, the washer away of our sins. Father, move us this morning to live like we're dying so that we can really, truly live for you. I pray this in Christ's holy name, and all that agree say, Amen. Stand together. We're going to read this verse one last time, and then we're going to sing this invitation song. We're going to read it every Sunday. It's your memory verse for January. Let's say it with gusto, shall we? Teach us to number our days aright, that we may... If you're in need while we sing this invitation song, won't you come? Won't you come right now?